regular coffee. All right, well, let's begin. So we're going to pick up Emiratz Hashem at Tan Rabbanon. So today's daf is Pei Hei, 85. We're picking up Pei Dalet Amud Beis, 84b, Tan Rabbanon, six lines up from the bottom. So Tan Rabbanon, Kol HaTinoin, Postin Beget Divrei Rebbe. Parents, those booklets, that's for the trip, they have the Gemara in there already. Uncle Mike, take one of those booklets also. So all tinoim, all different stipulations are pasul a get. So Rebbe holds that in general, again, we don't want any type of tinai within a get. Therefore, any tinai within a get, in fact, pasuls it. The chachamim say kol sheposul al peh posul b'ksav. So the chachamim say any tinai that would invalidate a get if made al peh, if made verbally, will also invalidate in writing. The kol she'eno posul al peh. And any get that does not invalidate alpeh, that does not invalidate verbally, then eino posal b'chsav will not go ahead and invalidate if a person does it in writing as well. Hey, shalom aleichem. Good morning. Will not invalidate b'chsav in writing. Chutz, the Gemara gives examples of this. Chutz, sheposa alpeh, posa b'ksav. Therefore, for example, the tenai of chutz, hare'at mutaris l'chol adam chutz mi ploni, which will go ahead and invalidate alpeh, will also invalidate if put in writing. Almanas she'en l'posa alpeh, but for example, the tenai of almanas, this is your get almanas on the condition and fill in the blank, ein l'posa b'ksav, does not go ahead and invalidate with writing, and therefore again, fine. I'm Rabbi Zera. Machlokes of Nei Torah. So we'll say. So Rabbi Zera suggests that this machlokes ultimately, again, is lifnei Torah. Ultimately, is when the tenai is done before the Torah. And we spoke about this yesterday. The Torah represents the couple-specific information in the get. And therefore, again, so the Rabbi Zera is suggesting the machlokes is only when the writing is done before the Torah. However, again, because Rebbe holds that we're concerned that even if you have a tenai of almanas, that you may come to go ahead and include a tenai of chutz. But Rabbanon Savri lo gazunan almanas atu chutz. But Rabbanon, on the other hand, hold that we're not gozer almanas lest you come to chutz. Avala acher atoref. But if the tenai is written after the Torah, top of pehei divrei hakol kosher. So we'll say this goes in line with what we said a little bit yesterday, namely that again, once the Torah is written and all the information is there, we assume that the get is intact. As long as there was no tenai. After the Torah is ultimately, again, where we're concerned that if there's a tenai there, that the entire Torah is written out that tenai. Listen, diktani kis kasvu, and the Mishnah that spoke about the idea that it was written inside, vokimna b'chutz. We'd have to go ahead and set that up as a case of chutz. Aval almanas lo pasul. But if you were to include a tenai of almanas, then ultimately, again, it would not be pasul. See, ibayisim, with the other parts of the Gemara, says, how do we understand it? Ibayisim, with lifnei Torah v'rabbanon. So the Gemara is trying to understand the nature of the Mishnah. So it could either be, one possibility is that it's according to the Rabbanon, and it's before the Torah. V'ibayisim, la'achar Torah v'divrakol. The other possibility is that the tenai is being included after the Torah, and it reflects the opinion of everyone. V'Rava Amar, Rava will say, Machlokis li achar Torah. Rava will say the Machlokis is only after the Torah. D'Rebbe Savar Gazrinan Atu lifnei Torah, because Rebbe holds that we're concerned that if we let you include a tenai after the Torah, you may come to include a tenai before the Torah. And remember, again, a tenai before the Torah is problematic because it colors the entire Torah. V'Rabbanan Savi, the Rabbanan hold, Lo Gazrinan Atu lifnei Torah. The Rabbanon say, we're not worried that you may come to include it tonight before the Torah, aval lifnei Torah, but if you include the tonight before the Torah, divrei hakol pasul. Everyone will agree that the get is pasul. Umas nisin diktani kisvu v'ukimna b'chutz, aval almanas lo pasul, la'achar ha-Torah v'rabbanani. And therefore the Mishnah that said that if you wrote it into the get, and we established that it's talking about a case of chutz, but almanas would not invalidate the get. It's talking about a situation where it was included after the Torah and reflects the view of the Rabbanon. Tani, so the Gemara says, Tani avua d'Rabbi Avin kamei d'Rabbi Zera, kasav get al tenai divrei hakol pasul. So remember again, both say, so the Gemara quotes a braisa, avua d'Rabbi Avin, the father of Rabbi Avin taught the following teaching in front of Rabbi Zera, if you wrote a get with a tenai, Everyone agrees that the get is possible. The Riyako apostle, what are you talking about? Everybody agrees that it's possible. Vaha miflag pliki. This is the result of a machlokes, right? There are others who argue. Ela ima ledivri hakol kosher. But rather, again, say it means, well, say, you see, only in Judaism could we turn things around like this. Right there, we went 1 second, everybody says that it's puzzle. To the next moment, everyone says that it's kosher. Vehechi dami, how could that be that everyone says that it's kosher? La achra hatoreth. If you include it tonight after the toreth. Because we'll say, remember again, if the Velei Mahari Zepasel, the Rebbe. So why don't you say that it's Pasel, and it reflects the view of Rebbe, who holds that the inclusion of any Tanai is problematic. Tana Divrei HaKol Asniyeh, because the Braisa said that Divrei HaKol is Kosher. Kosher bePasel Michlafle, Hari Ze bDivrei HaKol Lo Michlafle. So we'll say, the Gemara understands that it is possible for there to be sometimes certain confusion with the verbiage of the Gemara. So for example, if let's say the Braisa or the Mishnah records something as being kosher, it's possible that it's basal. But Divrei HaKol, whenever you see a phrase like Divrei HaKol in a Braisa, so the truth is that always means Divrei HaKol. Therefore, again, in order to figure out how to go ahead and make it Divrei HaKol, the Gemara had to say that there's talking about a case where the Tanai is included after the Torah. But the bottom line from this sugi is that you see, because there is so much machlokes regarding the inclusion of a Tanai, that's what I mentioned yesterday, that whenever we go ahead and we do a get contemporarily, so we always make the husband be mevatal any Tanai, meaning we don't allow the inclusion of any type of condition within the get, and we even tell the husband that if you're thinking any Tanai in your mind, that it's invalid, meaning we tell him to acknowledge the fact that any Tanai he may have in mind or in his heart is absolutely invalid, because you see the breadth and depth of his machlokes concerning Tanai, plus that you have a sheet of Rebbe who holds that the inclusion of any Tanai by definition invalidates the get. Says the Mishnah, Hare at muntaras l'chol adam ela la'abo la'avicha la'chi o la'achicha la'ever l'ovei kochavim. A man says to his wife, this is your get, and you are mutaras l'chol adam, you're permitted to marry any man except from my father and your father, my brother and your brother, to a slave and to a Gentile, ulachol mishein alav kiddushin, and anyone else who you're not permitted to marry. So the Gemara says, kosher. So such a statement does not invalidate the get. Why not? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, el abo lavicha, lav shiurahu. See, this is not a shir. He's not withholding anything from the gerushin. Dibalav isri ishus, not below tav sibu kiddushin, because remember again, she couldn't marry these people anyway. So he's not, remember, the one theme we've seen is the operative phrase of the get is Hari at mutaras l'chol adam. If you tamper with that statement, that's when you undermine the authenticity of the get. Therefore, the Mishnah is saying over here that Lamaisa, if you're only prohibiting her to men who she's already prohibited to, then again, that does not pose any problem with the gerushin. However, Hari at mutaras l'chol adam, Ella almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, mamzer es unesin li Yisrael, bas Yisrael l'mamzer ulenesin, v'chol mi sheyesh alav kiddushin afilu ba'aveira. But if he says to her, this is your get, on the condition that you are prohibited, that as an almana to a kohen gadol, a grusha v'chalutza to a kohen hedyot, a mamzeres, if you're a mamzeres, you can't marry a Jew, or if you're a bas Yisrael, you can't marry a mamzer in a sin. So we'll say, what's the common denominator among all of these marriages? They're all prohibited, but they're all prohibited also lav, which means that ultimately, again, if you do marry these people, the kiddushin is chal. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. He is forbidding something to her that is already prohibited, but the idea over here is, technically speaking, were she to go forward and marry one of these men, the kiddushin ultimately would be chal. Therefore, if he predicates the marriage on her prohibition to marry one of these men, he's undermining the effectiveness of the gerushin, and therefore the get is possible. Says the Gemara, klala derei shalasui emai. So remember, well, so whenever you have a Mishnah that begins to enumerate these kinds of cases, it's operating out of klal, out of principle. So what else would be included, let's say, in the ratio of the Mishnah? La'asuye shar chai ve'krisos. It comes to include other cases of relationships that are punishable by kares. Klala de seifa la'asuye. What is the end of the seifa? What does the principle of the seifa come to include? La'asuye shar chai ve'lavin. It comes to include other people who are only prohibited to her through a lav. Kigon, Amoni, Umoabi, Nesimi, Mitzri, Ve'edomi. Fine. So Rabbi says, so that's the chilek. If it's someone with whom marriage could not take place, your father, my father, your brother, my brother, then again, that does not limit the effectiveness of the gerushin neget ischal. If, however, it's someone who she could marry, albeit it would be prohibited for her to marry that person, and he prohibits that, that does undermine the effectiveness of the gerushin and would passel the get. So Rav asked the following kasha of Rav Nachman. Chutz mikidushe katan mahu. What is the halacha? What happens if he says, it's actually an interesting case. You can marry anyone you want except for a katan. Rashi says, chutz mikidushe katan, chutz miploni v'katan hu. So you can marry Hari Akhmetar Sechol Adam, chutz mi Ruvain, and Ruvain is 5 years old. Ruvain's a katan. So what's the halacha? Mahu. Mi arminon hashtam yalav bar haviyohu. So on one hand you could say, he's not really limiting the gerushin, why not? Because right now that child is a katan, and therefore there's no possibility of kiddushin. If there's no possibility for kiddushin, he's not limiting her marriage pool. Oh, the other possibility is asi lichlal havia. The other possibility is at some point in time that child is going to become eligible for marriage, and what? And at the end of the day, and now the husband is prohibiting her from marrying him. Amarle tinisuha. So he said, we learn this. Kitana miskareshes bekidushe aviha. Remember again, we learned about say that a kitana could go ahead and become divorced through the kiddushin of her father. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Kitana miskareshes im kibla gitala achamisas aviha. We'll say, so let's say the following situation. A father betrothed his minor daughter, which again is biblical kiddushin. Now she decides she wants to dissolve the marriage, and she's makabel her get, as she accepts the get herself. So what's the halacha? She has the ability to do so. Va'amai. The Gemara says, why is that? Va'haba inon v'yatza v'ha'isa. And I will say, again, we normally say that we equate kiddushin and gerushin, which tells us what? That the only type of woman that could accept gerushin on her own behalf is who? Someone who could enter into kiddushin. This girl is a kitana. She's a minor. Therefore, again, she should not have, because she doesn't have the ability to enter into kiddushin, she also shouldn't have the ability to accept her gerushin on her behalf. Rather, the Gemara says, ala asya l'chlal avia. Rather, what we say is we allow her to accept her get on her own behalf. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, we assume that one day she's going to become capable. Since one day she will reach adulthood, therefore we allow her to go ahead and accept her get on her behalf now as well. Hachanami Asya Lakhadia. So to Abi Rabosa, we say that when the husband goes in and says to his wife, you are muteres to every person, chutz mi ploni, except for so and so and ploni, right? The so and so is a katan, is a child. So Lemaisa, again. So Lemaisa, we say that although now he's not eligible for marriage, because one day he will be eligible for marriage, that is a shear. He is withholding something in the get, and therefore the gerushin is not valid. Chutz min hanolodim mahu. What happens if the husband says, you are muteras to every single person, chutz min hanolodim, except for anyone who is going to be born. In other words, what he does is, he limits her marriage pool to people who are currently alive. Right, but anyone who's born from this point and on, you cannot marry. So mahu, what's the halacha? Hashtamiha lois yalit. So on one hand, I could say, look, at the end of the day, there's no one born yet, meaning he's not prohibiting her to anyone because there's no one in that pool because this is future-oriented. Odilma asid dimsyaldi. On the other hand, I could say, there will be people who will be born, and therefore, again, he is actively limiting her marriage pool. We learned it. So remember, again, the Mishnah said that if he prohibits her to a slave or to a Gentile, then the get is still kosher because that's not considered to be limiting her because she's already prohibited to these people. So you could say again, why is it permitted if he says you can't marry the Eved or the Ovei Kochavim? After all, there's always the possibility that what? That they will convert. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, he's limiting her marriage pool, to which the Gemara says, Hanach lav li igure kaimi, hani li isyaludi kaimi. But see, here's the fundamental distinction. We don't assume that people will convert. We do assume that people will be born. So the idea over here is to limit her to tell you that she can't marry the Eved of the Ovei Kochavim. We don't anticipate that these people will convert. But to limit her ultimately to people who will be born, we know that people will be born. Chutz mi balacho samahu. Was is an interesting one. So he says to her, Hari, I'm permitted to every man except for your sister's husband. for your brother-in-law. So mahu, what's the halacha? Hashta mi halacha zilei. So on one hand, you could say he's not really limiting her in anything. Why? Because her brother-in-law is already prohibited to her anyway. Because remember, her brother-in-law is married to her sister. One man can't be married to two sisters. Odil mazimnin de masa chosa v'chazilei. On the other possibility, on the other hand, there's always the possibility that what? Sister will die. Her brother-in-law becomes available, and she can marry him. We learned this. The Eved al Oved Kochavim. So remember, the Mishnah said that if the husband prohibits the wife to the Eved, to the Oved Kochavim, that the get is still valid because they're already prohibited to her anyway. So the Gemara says, Eved al Oved Kochavim Nami Avidi Dimigairi. But why don't we see the same thing? There's always the possibility that what? That the Eved or the Oved Kochavim will convert. And because they'll convert, then what? Then Lemaisa again. He is actively limiting her marriage pool, to which the Gemara says, "Geirus lo shchicha, misa shchicha." It was a very profound statement. Conversion is not shchiach; death is exceptionally shchiach. Okay, so the Gemara says, we don't anticipate that ultimately somebody will convert, but we do anticipate that people do in fact die. Chutz mizunu seich mahu. Another interesting case. Let's say he says, "Sir, you are permitted to every single man, as long as it is the context of marriage, but you are not permitted to engage in any kind of znus, any kind of intimate behavior outside of the context of marriage." And again, Rabbi says, in all of these cases, this is a t'nai. So in the event that she does not comply, l'maisa again, the get will be invalid. So what's the halacha? Mahu b'nisun haloshir. On one hand, you could say, he didn't hold anything back in terms of nisun, meaning from a nisun perspective, she's no different than, she's totally permitted to marry anyone she wants. On the other hand, odil mashir b'biyah. On the other hand, he did limit her ability for bia. He limited her permissibility for bia to marriage and not outside of the context of marriage. Amrei Tinisua, we learned this. Liabo lavicha. The Mishnah said that again. Remember, if he limited her and he said to her, "You can't. This is your get on the condition that you don't marry your father or my father." Ubimai. Now, what's the case where he's prohibiting her to his father or to her father? Ilema binisuin. If we say it's marriage, abava avicha bnei nisuininu. Could one go ahead and marry? Can she marry her father or his father? Elalav biznus. Rather, he's prohibiting her from engaging his nus. So what do you see from here? It's only when he prohibits her to her father or to his father that that's not called the shiur in the get. Hala acher shiur. But again, for someone else, it absolutely would be a shiur. Ultimately, would be withholding something in the get that would invalidate the get. To which the Gemara says, Dilma b'nisuin, da'avad v'insuf. Maybe ultimately, again, it was a case of marriage, and he's talking about a situation where lemaisa, again, the father or the father-in-law went ahead and married her, even shalo kedin. So the Gemara doesn't answer it. Chutz mishalo kedarko. What happens if he says the following? This is your get on the condition that you never engage in bia shalo kedarko. So the Gemara says, Mao, what's the halacha? Kedarko haloshir. So at least when it comes to normative bia, ultimately, again, she's permitted. Odilma mishkave isha ksiv. On the other hand, the pasuk says mishkave isha, which again, I will say, indicates that there are two forms of intimacy, bia kedarka, bia shalo kedarka, and both are equally, so to speak, recognizable. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if he limits bia shalo kedarka, then again, halacha lemaisa, maybe that's called the shir, maybe that is called the withholding within the get. Chutz me'afaras nidarecha. What happens if he says, This is your get, but I retain the ability to annul your vows. Ha lo shir. On one hand, he binisun ha lo shir. He doesn't withhold. He doesn't retain any power in terms of over who she marries. But odilma kinyan kaspo. I'm sorry. Odilma ishayi kmeni veishayi fereniksiv. On the other hand, the pasuk clearly indicates that the power or the ability to annul vows rests with who? Ultimately, rests with the husband. The Gemara says, "Vishayi fereniksiv chutz mitruma seich mahu." What happens if he says to the following? This is your get, on the condition that you don't eat truma. That if you go ahead and you marry a kohen, you should not be entitled to eat truma. Mahu. On one hand, binisun haloshir, he didn't withhold anything in terms of nisun. I mean, she can marry anyone she wants. Old Vilna King and Kaspoksiv. On the other hand, the ability for the wife of a kohen to eat truma is a function of their marital union. By telling her if she goes out and she marries a kohen that she can't eat truma, that's effectively retaining a hold on her marriage eligibility. Chutz mirusha seich mahu. Suppose there's another case. Let's say he says to her, "What? This is your get, but I retain the right to inherit you. I retain the right to inherit you. Samahu benisuin haloshir. On one hand, he didn't withhold anything in terms of nisuin. She can marry anyone she wants. On the other hand, it says, the pasuk says that again, a husband has the ability to inherit his wife, and therefore to retain that right for himself is problematic. Similarly, let's say he says to her, "This is your get." On the kiddushin, on the condition, ultimately, again, that you do not do kiddushin with the shtar. In other words, you could do kiddushin otherwise, but not with the shtar. Mahu, what's the halacha? Mi arminon efshar de mekadesh lave kesef ubiya? Do we say, on one hand, he still has the ability to do kiddushin with her with kesef and biya? Or the other possibility is that what? That again, v'yatzav ha'haisa, remember, which tells us, equates all the different forms of kiddushin. Iskish ha'vius la'hadadi. It equates all the different forms of kiddushin with each other. And therefore, if he withholds one of those possibilities, that's called a shiur. That is called a withholding in the get, to which the Gemara says, "Vosai teku." So all of these questions that the Gemara asks essentially remains unresolved. Remember, the common denominator amongst all of these particular questions is that on one hand, the husband is not limiting the marriage pool, but what he is doing is he's limiting certain marital rights. So the shaila is, if she could technically marry anyone she wants, but some of the rights that would normally be or vest with a second husband remain with the first husband, is that called a shir? Is that called a withholding of certain elements of the gerushin or not? To which the Gemara says, teku. Mishnah. I'm sorry? So we pass in l'chumrah. Whenever you see a teiko in these kind of situations, it's always going to be l'chumrah. Which again, always circles back to why it is that we don't do any tanai and get. That's why you see, the more this goes on, the more you begin to understand the sheet of Rebbe, when Rebbe says, call out tanai and post them the get. Rebbe says, you can't mess with this kind of stuff. A, because the Gemara doesn't resolve it, and B, because some of it is so ambiguous and open to interpretation. Says the Mishnah, Gufo shall get. Now we'll say, what is the actual text of a get? Hari'at mutaris l'chol adam. So we'll say, again, the Tanakhama says that the essence of the get is simple. One line, again, it doesn't mean that's the only thing in the get, but it means is the ikr of the get is Hari'at mutaris l'chol adam. You are permitted to every single person. Pei hei am abdeis. Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Vidante heavy leichiminoi sefer teirichin v'igeres shavugin." Rabbi Yehuda adds in that the get must also write, "This should be to you from me a sefer, a book of teirichin." So both say, teirichin literally means like exile. V'igeres shavugin. And ultimately, again, a letter that I'm going to leave you. The get piturin. And this document ultimately, again, will exempt you from this marriage. Lemehach lihisnasba l'chol gavrin disyatzvin, and you can marry any man that you want. Gufa, so you see, Rabbi Huda has a little bit of an expanded verbiage over here. Hariat mutaris l'chol adam by itself is not enough. You need some additional phraseology as well. Gufa shall get. What is the essence of the get? Excuse me. Gufa shall get shechur. What is the essence? What is the guf of the get shechur? Hariat baschorin. Hariat liatzmeich. The essence of the get shechur, Rabbi says the Gemara is, you are a baschorin. You are a free woman. You are to yourself. You belong to yourself. The only reason the Gemara is pointing this out, Rashi points this out, the reason the Gemara is saying over here, the Gemara points it out, that it just phrases in the female, is just because you're talking about gittin. That's all, just to keep the gender symmetry throughout the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Pshita, Amar lo the ishto, hariat baschor lo amar klum. So now what the Gemara wants to see is the following, which lashonos actually work, bless you, which lashonos actually work in order to go ahead and divorce a woman. So if a man says to his wife, you are a baschorin, everyone agrees, lo amar v'lo klum. Such a statement ultimately is meaningless. Amar lo the shivcha, so hari at mutaris v'chol adam. If a man said to a shivcha, you are permitted to every single man, lo amar v'lo klum. So we'll say, obviously, if you use a lashon of at paschorin for a get, your free woman, doesn't work. Even though in reality that's what get does, but it's not the lashon of gerishin. And similarly, if he said to the shivcha, you're muteris to every single person, by shivcha that lashon is meaningless as well. Veloklam amrla leisha hari atla atzmeich mahu. Oh, here's the interesting question. What happens if a man says to his wife, you are hereby your own, you hereby belong to yourself? So is that a good lashon of gerishin or not? Legamre ka amrla? Is he saying you belong to yourself, legamre? In other words, that you are your own person now. You are your own person now, and therefore, again, that's a lashon of gerishin. Oh, lemalacha ka amrla. Or ultimately, again, is he saying lemalacha? Lemalacha means that maybe he's saying hari atlas mech means your earnings now belong to you. I have no rights over your earnings. Armavi Rabbi Ravashi, Rabbi Nisat Ravashi, Tashma Disnan, Gufo shall get shechrer. What is the body, the text of a get shechrer? Hari at baschorin, hari at liatzmech. So the text of a get shechrer is you are a baschorin, you belong to yourself. Uma avda dikani le gufe. Now, when it comes to an eved, ultimately who the master owns the actual body of the eved, ki amrle hari at liatzmech kani. When the husband uses the lashon of hari atli atzmeich, the eved acquires his literally his own person himself. Isha de lo kani gufei lo kol shekein. Then the most rabbis say what an isha whose guf is never owned by her husband. Rabbis, remember again, an eved is owned by the master. A woman is never owned by her husband. Her husband ultimately again may have entitlements ultimately to her money, to her masi adayim, to her metzias, but he never owns her. Therefore, the Gemara says, so the Gemara suggests the following. If Hari Akli Atzmeich is a strong enough lashon to ultimately free an Eved, and where the Eved is fully owned by the Adon, so Hari Akli Atzmeich should certainly be strong enough to free a woman from the marital bond. And Rabbi said that seems to be how the Gemara ultimately paskins. That Lemaisa again, such a lashon of Hari Akli Atzmeich would in fact work. Amrle Rabbi Ravashi, Shravini said to Ravashi, Amrle liavdo in the isik b'chamahu. If a person said to his servant, I have nothing to do with you, I no longer have any isik, I no longer have anything, no interest in you. So what's the halacha? Amrle Ravchanin Ravashi, Amrle Ravchanin mechos no'al Ravashi, Tashma. So we learned this earlier, that if a person sells his eved to an oved kochavim, sells his eved to an idolater, so the eved goes free, and the eved requires a document of emancipation from his first. This is a knas. This is a penalty if you sell your eved to chutz la'aretz. When is this true that he needs a get shichur? When he didn't write an ono. But if he wrote an ono, then that is his emancipation. My ono. What does that mean? He wrote an ono. Amar of Sheshes, the kosovle, lechishatibrach mimeni, engli isik becha. So most of the shtar ono is where the Adon writes, if you escape from me, I have nothing to do with you. Einli eisek becha. So what do you see from here? You see from here that the lashon of einli eisek becha, I no longer have any involvement with you, is in fact an effective lashon for emancipation. Rabbi Huda Omer, v'dan de ahavi lechi minay sefer terech in v'yer shivukim. So what's I remember again, Rabbi Huda said, this should be for you. Remember, fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon in Mishnah. The Tanakhama, the Rabbanon says that pretty much the essence of a get is, Hari at mutaris lechal adam. You're permitted to everyone. Done. That's the lashon of the get. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says that the lashon of you need to be a little bit more verbose. And you need to be able to say, this, v'dan de'avilichim inoi, this that I'm giving to you, sefer terichin, igereshvukin, get peturin, that lemehach, to give to you, lehis naspalachol gavrin de'es yasvin, and allows you to marry anyone you want. So it says, v'gimar b'maikim iflagi. So this is what are they arguing about? Meaning, here, they can't just be arguing about text. There has to be something, ultimately, again, that drives this machlokis. So what are they arguing about? To which the Gemara says, so, Rabbanan Savri, Yadayim Shirvos, this is going to take us back already to our Nedarim and Nazir days a little bit. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Savri, Yadayim Shein Mochichos Havyan Yadayim. So we'll say, remember a Yad. A Yad is a partial declaration. So the question is, let's say you have a partial declaration. Are partial declarations, are they valid or not? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, So, partial declarations. So, partial declarations that are not necessarily explicit are still considered to be effective declarations. So, what the Rabbanan say is like this: that as long as he says to her, as long as it says, even though again, again, you're right, it doesn't go into as much depth as Rabbi Yehuda. That's an effective enough declaration to allow the gerushin to be chal. V'don, even though he doesn't write, even though according to the Rabbanan, you don't write the rest of Rabbi Yehuda's phraseology, v'don, dehevi lechi, muchacham nosa, debahai gita kamigarishla. It becomes clear that Lamaisa, again, that Lamaisa, he is still divorcing her. So I want to say, so this is, fine. So according to the Rabbanan, even you don't have to write this full phraseology of v'don diyehevi lechi minay sefer terichin, so on and so forth, but rather, again, simply writing hari at muteros l'chol adam is enough, even though, again, it's only a partial declaration, but l'maisa, it's enough for her to understand what the essence of this is. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, yadayim shen mochichos l'havi yadayim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that no, partial declarations that are potentially ambiguous are not considered to be valid for get purposes. V'tayma, the cost of love, v'don muchacham nosa, t'bahai gita kamagarishla. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, partial declarations that are potentially ambiguous are not valid, and therefore the only reason why this get will be good is why? Because you write explicitly that this get that I'm giving you to you should be a sefer terechin, iger shvukin, so on and so forth. Avalo cost of love, v'don, but if he does not write in this phrase of v'don, amri b'dibura kagarsha. Ultimately, the concern would be that potentially, again, he's trying to divorce her with words. Ushtara raya ba'amuhu. So we'll say what Rabbi Yehuda seems to be concerned about is the following. That if all you have written in the get is hariat mutaris l'chol adam, maybe it's not the get that's affecting divorce. But maybe, again, it's the dibor. Maybe it's the phraseology. Maybe it's the wording. And lemaisa again, and the shtar is only a shtar raya. It's only there to prove that a verbal exchange took place. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Haiman de Kasif. So we'll say, so fine. So therefore, that's the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The truth is, Rabbosai, we actually follow a little bit of a synthesis of both. We have in every single get, Hariat Mutaris l'chol adam, but we also have some version of Rabbi Yehuda's shita as well that indicates a little bit more verbose fashion that this get is the vehicle, is the document through which the marital bond is severed. So now the Gemara just spends a few moments talking about just some of the details of writing certain words in the get. So the Gemara says the following. I'm going to buy it because of Gita. A person who's writing a get, lo lichtov vidin, he shouldn't write vidin, demashma vidin, ela vidan. So I'll say, so he shouldn't write vidin, because remember in Aramaic, you could write vidin also, and din could also mean this. The problem with writing din is that some may think that his husband's saying, I'm obligated to divorce you. Husband's not obligated to divorce you. I mean, there are circumstances where husband is obligated, but l'maisik and l'abdafka is obligated. So therefore, shouldn't write l'din. That makes it sound like there's a compulsion, an obligation to write the get. Ela vidan. Rather, you should make sure to omit the yud and just write vidan. And ultimately, again, write and this. Vidan. Dan means this one. Velo lichtov igeres, demashma igeres, ela igeres. So don't write igeres, because igeres means igeres. Instead, write igeres. So what does that mean? So igeres with the yud, Rashi points out, also means roof. So make sure to not write yud in the word igeres. Rather, just write igeres without the yud, which indicates that it's a document. Velo lichtov limehach, and do not write limehach, demashma li mehach. So also what the Gemara is saying over here is, when you're writing the word limehach, that this is for you, you leave out the yud. Because if it's yud, it looks like a contraction of two words, li mehach, literally me from this, and that doesn't make sense. Therefore, leave out the yud, and again, limehach makes sense. Follow lichtov, limachach, demashka kichucha. And don't go ahead and write. So instead of, let's see, what they're concerned about is, you could easily go ahead and make that hey into a ches, right? It'll be lemechach, and don't write that. Why? Because lemechach sounds like a lashon of chucha. Chucha ultimately, you know, both say, is like a joke. Di yis havyon, di yis yatzvan, tlasa tlasa yudin. Both say, make sure that in the words, dis yasvan and dis yatzvan, which means again, dis havyon means you'll be permitted, dis yatzvan means want. So ultimately, again, make sure to write it in three yods. Why? Dimashma, dis havyon, but dis yatzvan. Fine. Velorche levav de terichin. Make sure to elongate the vav of terichin. U levav de shvukin. So we'll say, make sure to elongate the vav of terichin and the vav of shvukin. Why? Because if you don't draw the vav long enough, it'll look like yuds. Demashma trichin ushevikin. So we'll say, trichin ushevikin sounds like banished or abandoned women. So remember, again, the idea you just read is igeres teruchin and igeres shivukin, which means that this document is one, I mean, literally it means this document is one that casts you away, and this document is one that makes me leave you. But if you write it as, that's only if you're in teruchin and shivukin. If it's trichin u'shivukin refer to banished or abandoned women. And make sure to go ahead and elongate the vav of kido. Otherwise, it'll read it as kidi. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. This Rashi is the fourth to last short line. So again, make sure to elongate the vav of kido. With this, I literally free you from this marriage. Vav ha'achrona marich shelo yireh kiyud, di marich le'mashma u'kidi lomar below klum, be'ein sefer. So we'll say the problem with kidi makes it sound like you are just released me'ilov, right? Even if you do nothing, I'm releasing you from this marriage without any type of marital bond. Velo lichtov le'insaba, di mashma lo yisnasba, ela le'hisnasba. And rather, again, make sure to go ahead and and don't go ahead and write the word leisnasba, because leisnasba makes it sound like what? That the husband is saying you may not remarry. Rather, again, go ahead and make sure to go ahead and write lehisnaspa, that ultimately, again, she can get remarried. Right? So we're going to stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem with the Ibai Lahu. Mirza Hashem, Mirza Yisrael, Shkoyach Aryeh. So good to see you. Baruch Hava.
Thank you. What did you do to yourself?
Broke my ankle.
What?
Broke my ankle.
Oh boy.
Play basketball.